With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this month's EvoStick Division 1 show for the month of October. This is a dedicated show to the EvoStick Northern Premier League Division 1 North and South. And coming up in the show, we'll be going to our trusted sages, Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian and Robin Gray from the Staffordshire Football Show. We'll also be joined by a couple of chairmen, Toby McCormack from Warrington Town and Craig Wood from Shaw Lane Aquaforce. I'm your host Ben Hughes and welcome to this month's EvoStick Division 1 show. So welcome to this month's EvoStick Division 1 show, and there's only one place we can start this month's show, and that's to Division 1 South. And to guide us through what's been going on in Division 1 South this past month and to look into the distant future of Division 1 South, there's only one place we can turn to. It's to the Staffordshire Football Show's very own on Not FM. It's Robin Gray. Hello, Robin. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Ben, and thanks for having me on again.
No problem. I went round the houses there a bit on that introduction, but I think it all paid off in the end. So, can anyone stop Stafford Rangers? That's the question.
It's a good question. It's a good question. I mean, they've obviously had that one league defeat now since the last time we spoke. Mm-hmm. They've had a couple of draws in there as well, a frustrating one at home to Market Drayton, which perhaps they might have felt they would have done a little bit better. But in terms of actually running away with it, they pretty much are. they've shown the most consistency out of any team in the division. Their home form's very good, as we can see. It's about now for Stafford Rangers building on what they've got. They've got a wonderful striker in Ben Hazley, who, when they signed him, everyone said, oh, he'll get him goals. And what's he done? He's certainly delivered on that point of view. They've got strong defence. And I think that the thing with the Staffordshire area is so much is that Stafford Rangers have to... Stafford Rangers are in the Black Country more so, in that sort of region. And Neil Kitching knows that area very well. So instead of coming over to Stoke-on-Trent, instead of maybe going to Manchester, to Liverpool, to sort of cities to get their players, he's got a very good grounding of perhaps what's on the doorstep. He works in Stone. He's got that recruitment right on that point of view. And he's not afraid to freshen it up throughout the season. You know, if a player doesn't play well... he will move them on, which is, like I say, a ruthless attitude in some ways, but he's got success on it, and I've got a lot of respect for him for that, and I think the fans are loving having him at the club. He's bought into the club. He's local. It all works well. They've got some local players coming through now, playing for the team, and it's all very positive from what it was a year or so ago, really, from where people were really starting to worry about the club. So from that point of view, you never can say for sure, but I think the league might be decided, and I do think they'll win the league this season.
Well, they are a sleeping giant, very much so, of the EvoStick. So yes, so that you've done a very good job there. Can I just say that, Robin, of setting the scene for Stafford Rangers? They are currently now, at the time of recording, we're recording this bit on Wednesday, they are 5 points clear of second place Shaw Lane Aquaforce, who we've got coming up on the show very shortly. We've got an interview with the chairman. So Shaw Lane are doing well. They're scoring goals for a laugh, it would appear.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I mean, they've come up and they've done what... You know, that they've, from what I hear, that they've spent some good money and bought in some good recruitment, and they've got a good front two up front as well. Our manager was certainly talking about them last night at Kidsgrove as we faced them on Saturday. So that they're a team that worries defences. If you look at the goals, I mean, 37 goals at this stage of the season is absolutely brilliant. I mean, it's a wonderful return. Was it Basford? I think they've just beat 5-0. I mean, they're scoring goals for fun.
Yeah.
So it's refreshing to see. It's good to see that, you know, that they're an upcoming club. They're doing really well. And yeah, you know, will they sustain it for the rest of the season? They're looking good at the moment, but obviously they are a newly promoted team, so there will come some struggles for them. There's no doubt about that, but it's how they get through them and how they keep playing, and I suppose keeping us entertained is the main thing, isn't it?
Well, they've got some good players as well, like obviously Gavin Allott, there's Adam Priestley, there's Adam Jones as well, of formerly of FC, of course. These are Evo Stick NPL Premier Division names of players. They're obviously very ambitious, and like I say, we'll be speaking to the chairman very shortly to find out just how ambitious they are. Can't rule out Colville Town at this moment in time either. They're currently 3 points from second position, but with two games in hand. So they're another one who could do well this season.
Yeah, they could. I mean, they've just picked up a good win last night, 4-1 away at Loughborough Dynamo, and they've got a very good defence. Jake Woolley's a very good player for them. He chips in with goals, and they were always actually been very good defensively in the Evo Stick League, and perhaps this could be their season where they really challenge. It's a good club, like I say, and that's the building block. That is the building block of this division. If you can be good defensively, which is something a lot of teams don't do in this division, then you can achieve success. 21 goals isn't breathtaking for how many they've scored, but it's enough to put them in third position, and it could be enough to lift them even higher if they keep going at the same sort of goal difference as they're at. So I think they're doing well, Colville. They drew a leak a few weeks ago. Maybe they'd be disappointed they couldn't get the win there with a couple of decisions and things. But at the end of the day, it will be a season for them where I think we'll certainly see them finish around about where they are right now.
And obviously Sheffield FC as well, the oldest club in the whole world. And they're doing very, very well. As a Daventry, as a Lincoln United, as a Basford United, Newcastle Town have also been heading up. I'm going through this list very quickly because it is, well, what's this gap here? There's from Sheffield FC currently in fourth position down to Goole in 14th. There's only 5 points separating them at this moment in time, which is, it's very tight, isn't it?
Well, I think even if you look towards Romulus, I think from Romulus upwards, I think any of those teams there, I wouldn't rule out any of them finishing the playoffs this season. I think it's like we talked about Shore Lane, but it's even Basford and Daventry have come in, and they've done really well. Both really, you know, they're picking up wins. We saw Sporting do it last season where they did really well. And Tiverdale as well. And it's about trying to get towards the playoffs for them, because I suppose they feel like they've got nothing to lose coming to a new division, perhaps. It's good to see Sheffield FC, like you say, the oldest club in the world, doing very well. And locally on our doorsteps, yeah, Newcastle Town, they've had a little bit of a struggle in recent weeks, but they've brought back Tim Sanders and Tom France, who did really well for them in the previous season before they went to Hensford. So it hasn't worked out for them there. They've come back. And they are crucial to their team. They've got a decent defence, some good players throughout the team, and they're still using that youth system. Whether that will sustain them enough to go and finish in the playoffs, I'm not so sure. But I do think that they'll still have a pretty decent season. It's where Newcastle Town go for teams like that now. They did really, really well last season. They played some really good football, and it was always going to be hard to replicate that with the players they lost. As for Leek, it's been all changed there. I mean, a lot of players went out. He brought some in, a few have left again, and now there's kind of a new influx of some of the Witten Albion players, like Lee Cropper, like Chris Baker, like Niall Green, like Kyle Diskin, if a few of them can get their heads down and play well, then they could be good assets to them. But for Leek, it's about, was always, in my opinion, going to be a tougher season for them this year, because the last two seasons they've had a pretty settled team through the whole season, and that's what's built Leek as well as success. So having to change that and throw the baby out of the bathwater as such, it's been a bit of a problem for them, I feel, but I think they might come good towards the end of the season.
Now, last month, Tiverdale looked a bit doomed, and there's question marks over Rugby Town as well. Obviously, Rugby Town had a decent FA Cup run this year, as we should mention, but it's not clear cut anymore, this relegation battle. No one's been particularly left behind. Tiverdale are currently bottom, but they're only 3 points from safety. Admittedly, well, they played a game more than a couple of teams around them, but it's it's quite tight down the bottom as well between four or five sides.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Tiverdale play away at Newcastle Town. I saw them play us at Kidsgrove, and I wasn't very impressed. But the last two results, they've got to, I suppose, build on. They picked up a decent point against Chasetown. They picked up a decent point last night, and they've got to look to build on from that. Rugby is with the group against Leek Town at the weekend. So these teams are clearly now starting to... Rugby are clearly getting used to the division. From what I know, from the managers I spoke to in this league, all of them have said, well, don't go to rugby thinking that they're second bottom and it'll be an easy win. He says, they always say they aren't a bad side. Now, if you look, they've actually only lost one home game. So at home, they're forced to be reckoned with. Away from home, that's where they struggle a little bit more. So it is difficult for teams like this, but they've scored goals, Rugby. You know, that hasn't been much of a problem for them. I think they scored three against us the other day, against Kidsgrove. So I think they're still in it for the fight for survival as such. Tiverdale might find it a little bit more difficult due to the change in their squad. Yeah. But, you know, we're still early days, aren't we, Ben? There's still a lot that could change between now and,
Robin,
and April.
It's only November. It's only November.
Well, exactly. We're just in there. So, yeah.
So the league, it's too early to call at this moment in time, but it is taking some form of shape. In the FA Trophy, we've had the first qualifying round and some decent scalps made by Division 1 South sides. Basford United beat Grantham Town on Saturday by 3-1, which is a bit of an upset, to say the least. But it's not really surprising, is it, with the way Basford are playing and the way Grantham are playing?
Yeah, I remember talking locally here a few seasons ago. I think Leek Town went on a wonderful run where they beat Altrincham. And then, I think it was a replay after they'd drawn with them. And this was when Brackley had beaten Gillingham a week before in the FA Cup. And they went to Leek, and Leek won it in extra time. And to beat back-to-back Conference North sides like that was absolutely phenomenal. But at the same time, it doesn't always shock you now in football. I mean,
I was going to say that this next one, though, might have been a bit of a shock. Carlton Town, who are down the bottom end of Division 1 South at this moment, they beat Stamford by 2-1.
Stamford,
and admittedly, Stamford aren't great at this moment in the league. But still, good result there for Carlton Town, it has to be said.
Well, exactly. Basford and Carlton, it's wonderful for them. For us at Kidsgrove as well, we got a wonderful, convincing win over Newcastle Town last night with Ant Malburn, obviously formerly of the Football League, and at Kidderminster, and he's really hitting form. But it also, it makes more money. I think it was about £2,900 for the winners of the games. And I think it's just over £3,000 for the next one. So if you look at it, maybe for some teams it doesn't make much of a difference, but for a lot of non-league teams, it makes a lot of difference to their wage bill. It may be, you know, I don't know whether it be a lick of paint on a stand or something like that, but it all goes in the pot, as I suppose many of them are thinking. And it is amazing from that point of view. And even if you get, I can't quite remember how the gates work. I presume it's still towards the 50-50 side of things, but it's... you know, a trip to a bigger clubs can't go amiss. I mean, we're all thinking, well, we're going to Marine, so we might have, you know, a day out by the seaside in Liverpool when we go next week. But these are all bigger teams. They're good experience for the players. It's a competition, as Pete Ward said to me in the interview last night. He said, well, to Marine, the pressure's off. If we win it, it'll be brilliant. If we don't, we won't lose sleep about it. You know, this is why so many of them beat the bigger clubs, because it's quite a lot of pressure off. Because when you think about it, the FA Cup, I know, gets split into rounds, and so does the trophy. But the trophy, pretty much every team there takes it seriously as such, I'd say. You know, some teams tend to, maybe the higher conference sides sometimes don't put as much into the FA Cup or the league sides as well. So from a non-league point of view in the trophy, it's very competitive. And it's a great competition, you know, because anybody can win it. That's the thing. If you look at the history, that tells you everything.
Well, congratulations to Basford United, going down this list. Carlton Town in particular, that's a really good result for them. For Kidsgrove Athletic, they made it through, did they, against Newcastle Town?
Yeah, last night, 3-0 win, so super, yeah.
Shoreline Aquaforce as well, they also made it through. I'm just looking at the replays and some of the matches. I'm going to suggest as well, Lincoln United have had a very good result. Got beaten Stafford Rangers, admittedly on penalties, but a very good result for Lincoln United. And Lincoln United as well, just to finish off on this note, They're having a decent season as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they're a good side as well. I mean, they picked up some good wins as well. Beating Stafford. I mean, I'm not sure how strong the Stafford side was, but it's still a wonderful result for them. And you know, it's moved them up the league from last season. They're doing well. They've got games in hand which can go for you, go against you. But if they get a run together like they've been doing, again, they could be in contention for the playoffs. It is amazing. I mean, with the fans at Kidsgrove are hopeful we can make the playoffs, yes. And it's not out of the question. So why should any team, you know, why should us, even Chasetown, I bet, still think they've got a bit of a chance on 13 matches. You know, when you look at how many there are off Daventry, it's that's the way you have to look at the table sometimes at this level, and say, and that's, I think, what many managers do. They sit down, they look at the games in hand, and they say, well, if we win this, we win this. It puts us in a very good position, and if you can get ahead of steam, but it also makes it so competitive. I think the league is a much better league this season. That's why perhaps a few teams could get cut adrift towards after Christmas time, but we'll have to wait and see on that point of view. But I think it's great. It's great for us to talk about and watch, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. And we'll have you on next month just to see those gulfs just slowly opening up. Okay.
I'm sure they will.
Robin Gray from Not FM, from the Staffordshire Football Show. How can people follow you on social media and listening to the show, of course, as well? How can people do
that? It's at Robin Gray 21 on Twitter, and if you go to www.notfm.co.uk, which is KNOTFM, you can listen to the show. That is on a Thursday night, the Staffordshire Football Show. So if you're a fan of the Evo Stick Division 1 South, it's good because we cover Stafford, Kidsgrove, Leek and Newcastle Town and a bit more non-league, and you might even hear your own team names on there sometimes. So, it's good to get some non-league, some coverage. It's great to come on a show like yours, Sir Ben. So thanks for having me.
No worries, Robin. My pleasure. So, Robin Gray, thank you for coming on this month's Division 1 show. Much appreciated, mate.
Cheers.
So we'll be returning to Division 1 South very shortly with an interview with Charlene Aquaforce. But before that, we're going to turn our eyes to Division 1 North. And doing quite well at this moment in time in Division 1 North is Warrington Town. At time of recording, they're currently second. And to discuss Warrington Town a bit more now, we're joined by the chairman, no less. It's Toby McCormack. Hello, Toby. How are you?
I'm good, mate. Are you?
Not too bad. So quite a good start this season.
Yeah, great start for us. Maybe stuttered a little bit in the opening fixtures. A loss away at Burscough. I think we had a draw at home also. So a little bit of an opening stutter, but apart from that, went 11 unbeaten before losing again to Burscough in the return fixture at home. So you're going really well.
If you look at the Warrington Town results on the website, it's literally green W's all the way down, pretty much, as you say, apart from that result at Burscough. Obviously, last season, the FA Cup was the main big draw for Warrington Town, and you had to come back from a long way to make up for lost ground. This season, FA Cup's not been the distraction it is. Is that a welcome thing this season?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, people said to me, how did you feel when you went out against Aberhay? And you know, quite naturally, for the first hour after the game, I was a bit upset. Not got out of that round since 2008. Unusual stuff, you know, sponsors expecting a bit more coverage, a bit of return on their investment, considering what happened last year. So a little bit upset, but, you know, in the long run and the grander scheme of things, the number one priority this year is promotion and nothing else. So, and to be fair, I think the players felt a bit pressured with last year. There's an expectancy that we're going to draw Man U at home in the third round this year. What happened last year? But I don't often go in the changing room, but I was in after the Aberhay game, and there seems to be a different air in the changing room, a bit of pressure off, and certainly you could see that on the Monday against Trafford. A welcome result, if you like, if you could say that. Yeah, it probably was, because the number one focus is that we had to come from a long way back last year, as you said. A lot of Tuesday, Saturday fixtures right the way through the season. And it's tough when you're working off a 19, 20-man squad to keep everyone fresh and fit and you know, trying to stay clear of suspensions and stuff. It does take its toll, and it did. You know, really leggy towards the end of the season. I can remember being beaten 3-1 at home by Newmills last year, where we just weren't at the races at all. And that was, I think, a key result last year that sort of took us out of the playoffs. This year, we're just on Saturday fixtures by the dudes at the minute, and I know we're having a bit of running the trophy at the minute, but it's definitely the number one priority.
That said, though, what a springboard it must be for a club to make it through to the second round of the FA Cup. Obviously, there's four Evo Stick clubs embarking on that journey there this Saturday. What does it mean for a club to benefit from such exposure that Warrington got last season?
Oh, it's untold. It's untold. It really is. The publicity and then the coverage that we got just off the Exeter game alone, never mind trips up to Gateshead. I mean, it's how you measure that. You know, before the Exeter game, I think we had 4,500 Twitter followers. After the game, we had just over 9,000. And that's just over a course of 2 hours. We nearly doubled our followers figures there. And the BBC, with it being back on there, there were some great support programmes behind the scenes. We even featured in a programme called Maths of the Day, which covered all the figures around the FA Cup, which was, again, a great piece of coverage. We were on Berlin Sports all across Southeast Asia and Central America at the peak time as well. Really great coverage for us, and all it does as well, obviously, there's a financial impact to it, which really helps to stay in the club for a few seasons coming forward.
Now, Warrington Town, since I've been doing this podcast, I think this is the third season we've done it, the Warrington Town has always been that club with a bit more ambition, shall we say. What's the long-term aim for Warrington Town? Is it to get into the Football League, or is it to go a bit more higher in non-league and settle there?
I think the ultimate aim is Football League. You know, I'm involved in it, and I've got investors involved in it, because that's where we want to be. I think every non-league club must have that aspiration to eventually be a Football League club. Will we get there? And when we get there, who knows? But that's definitely where we're heading, and that's what's being sold to people that I've got involved.
And there's a cracking chance this season. Obviously, Northwich are a bit distracted at this moment in time. They have got a game tonight. We're recording this on Wednesday, so we don't know the result of that one. But there is a good chance this season with the likes of Salford and Darlington out the picture. Are you hopeful for Warrington this season?
Yeah, got to be honest. You know, I've not gone mad with the wage budget this year. You know, a lot of talk out there saying that we've got an horrific wage budget, but we've not. You know, what I've done is I've pitched this year's wage budget against what I think our main opposition's budget is. You know, what I think Northwich's budget is. You know, look, if you switched on and you know your players and you speak to people, you've only got to look at a team sheet to know roughly what the weekly wage budget is. So looking at that, I've pitched ours similar to what I think Northwich and Spennymoor is, because, like I say, you know, if we do go up next year, we have to have a sustainable business model that'll help us in the division above.
And just an overall perspective of Division 1 North this season, you mentioned Warrington and Spennymoor. Can't rule out Glossop North End. They've had a hell of a start as well. What's the overall impression this season? Is it going to still be tougher? Is it still going to be tough like it was last season?
I think it will, but I think, you know, the teams that are up there now, I think personally they'll be up there at the end of the season. I think one not to rule out is Bamba. You know, I still think Bamba will feature in the playoffs. The two good a team, and have got too many good players to not be in that top five. So I've got a feeling that Bamber will come from the rails as the season goes on. Glossop, I think they'll feature. I think the task they've got is the weather. I know last year when they were in the counties, they suffered a lot through December and January, where they were playing, I think, Tuesdays, Thursdays and Saturdays towards the end of the season. It'll be a tough thing to get away with, I think, in the Eversick League.
And last question, obviously, you mentioned Bamba there. You're hosting Bamba Bridge this weekend. Bamba's had a slow start, but they're finding form now. What do you reckon for this weekend? Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, very much so. Like I say, they're a good side, good, great bunch of guys there. Get on really well with them. So looking forward to meeting up with them again this Saturday. And I'll take a scrappy 1-0 win off someone's back. Sure. if it means getting the 3 points. So yeah, it's about momentum and belief. And you know, when we had that 11 game unbeaten run, that's, you know, sometimes before you even come out of the changing room, you can be a goal up when you've got that kind of belief, and that's what we need to get back into the lads.
Well, Toby McCormack, chairman of Warrington Town Football Club, thanks for joining us this month on the Division One show. Much appreciated.
Any time. Thanks very much.
So, very shortly, we'll be hearing from the Shorelane Aquaforce chairman on all things Shorelane Aquaforce and Division One South, of course. But before that, we're going to stick with Division One North and to help us understand what on earth is going on in Division One North at this moment in time. There's only one place we can go to. It's Andrew Simpson from the Mid Cheshire Guardian. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
I'm not bad, thank you. Welcome back to Division One Corner.
Oh, it's
Division North Corner, even.
Yes, yeah. It's great. It's great. We've just had the chairman on from Toby McCormack. We just heard from Warrington Town on everything that's going on there. I figured instead of going on about Northwich Victoria, let's give, because we had Glossop on a couple on last month's show, let's get Warrington in. So Warrington has been on as well. But it would be remiss of me not to ask, Northwich Victoria this weekend.
Yeah.
We're speaking to Jim Gannon on the Evo Stick Extra show, but what are your views going into this one?
I think they've got a great chance. One of my colleagues interviewed Jim Gannon on Wednesday. One of the things I was curious about is how on earth does a Division One North club go about trying to scout and find out about a team from the other end of the country? But he was telling us that he had made the long trip down to have a look at them firsthand. It's something that he tries to do whenever the opportunity arises, which obviously doesn't always get the chance to do that. But obviously, because it's such an important game in their season, such an important game for the club, he wanted to go and have a peep at Boreham Wood. I'm not aware that they've actually sent anyone back the other way. And I don't mean that they're being ignorant or anything like that, but it might just be a logistical thing for them as well. But he's learned a lot from that, will be much better able to prepare for the game on Saturday as a result of having a look at them. Northwich are no strangers on this FA Cup run to being underdogs. They've already knocked out three higher ranked teams. So we asked him that, how do you feel about being the underdogs? Perfectly happy with that. It's something we've done all the way through this run. And it's curious because they won't know anything about each other. And that's going to be interesting. What he did say, though, is he feels that they are similar in their style to Northwich. They have a similar physicality. They have a similar pace as a big attribute in their team. So I'm not sure whether that's something to be worried about, though. If you're playing a bigger, stronger version of yourself, that does present a particular type of challenge. But then, to be fair, I think that's the obstacle that Northwich got over when they beat Chorley again. They cancelled each other out in the first game, but Northwich were able to get the better of Chorley again, kind of built in a similar way, albeit playing at a higher level, and they've managed to find a way past them. So, it's not a challenge that is a stranger to them. Look at it. Boreham Wood are three leagues higher. They should win this game. But I think Northwich have got a great chance. I really do. Why not? Why not get through? Why not knock Boreham Wood out?
Everyone around the table at the Magnet pretty much thought that out of all the ties, that this one was pretty much, not the easiest one, I'm not going to suggest, but the one where you could quite easily see a win for Northwich Victoria.
I think so. But is that informed by the fact that, and I include myself in this, we don't know that much about Boreham Wood. I mean, I've had a look at their squad and started to do a little bit of homework, and there's some real pedigree in there, people who've played at a high level. They've got some class in their squad. They're in the top flight of non-league football. I mean, are they looking at it going, well, what an amazing chance we've got to get to the second round. We're playing a team from the fourth tier of non-league football. So they might be looking at it and going, we won't get a better chance to get through to the next stage. But I think they must look at it and think, who Northwich have knocked out so far to get this far? The teams they've beaten, like say three higher ranked teams, they must look at that and think, oh God, could we be next? There must be an element of that in how they're approaching this game. So I think it's fascinating, actually. It's a really, really curious tie.
When it comes to league form, obviously Northwich Victoria, remarkably, and it is quite remarkable really, they're still out in front. They've played four games less than Glossop North End, who are currently second. Admittedly, they've only played three games less than Warrington Town, who are on the same number of points. But this is remarkable, isn't it, for a side to be this far in the FA Cup and it not really affecting league form. In fact, they won on Wednesday, didn't they, against Lancaster? So
they did, and that came off the back of losing in the trophy. So they've proved that they can bounce back from what was only their second defeat of the season. I suppose, yeah, it'd be interesting to know what Toby said, because again, one of my colleagues spoke to Sean Reid for our sister paper in Warrington, and it was quite interesting to listen to what he was saying, because he was saying, oh, Northwich are going through a very similar thing to what we did last year. Ultimately, we found that the FA Cup ended costing us a little bit in our league campaign, something that me and you've talked about on this programme as well. And what Sean Reid said, probably slightly tongue-in-cheek, was that obviously he would prefer to be in their position. They're on a great run at the moment, 7 wins in the past 8. He said something like, you know, we've got points on the board, it's a much better position to be in. And I think part of that is him talking from experience. I think he's being sincere, and I wonder if part of that's being a little bit mischief-making to say, well, you know, we're just getting along quietly while you're being distracted by the FA Cup. But I mean, Warrington have done great. You know, they've got themselves in a great position.
Absolutely.
But they must be looking at it and wondering when Northwich are gonna slip up. And as Glossop and Spenio and the others, they must all be waiting. You know, oh, it's got to happen soon. It's got to happen soon. No sign of that yet. I think I trotted out this stat last time, but it remains relevant, so I will do again. It's a quirk of the fixture list, but Northwich have only actually played one team that's currently in the table's top 8, and that was Clitheroe, and it's their only league defeat so far.
Right.
So the fixture list is going to start getting quite challenging for Vicks, because they've, you know, they would have played some of their rivals, but the fixtures have been juggled because of their FA Cup commitments. So we will find out a little bit more. They're going to start running into the other teams in the top 8, and it's going to be one after the other. I mean, if Northwich can come through, I'm not saying they're going to win all of those, but if they can come through that run with a decent haul of points, then it is going to be a psychological blow to everybody else, who at the moment will be looking at it going, oh, well, not played Glossop yet, not played Warrington yet, not played. And it's a point that Sean Reid made. He said, well, we've got to play Vicks twice yet. So, yes, you look at the games in hand. Yes, you look at the table, but he's very much saying, well, we've got the two head-to-heads and we need to, you know, that's where we're going to target picking up some points. And I would imagine that Glossop, Spennymoor and the other teams up there will all be saying the same thing. Well, we've got two cracks at Vicks yet, so we can make inroads into that gap that appears to be appearing. So the table isn't light. Northwich are top because they've been the best team so far, but it's going to be interesting to see how it pans out now in the next couple of months when they have a run at playing all of the teams around them in the table.
So
if they come through that, they're going to be well positioned, aren't they? They're going to be in a great position.
Absolutely. But let's just end on this note and say that, so listener of Division 1 North, don't despair. There's still hope.
I think there's still hope. I mean, I'd, as I always do, I had a little look at the odds, and understandably, Northwich have now been favourites to win the title ahead of Warrington. But Spennymoor 5-1, Glossop 9-1. And coming up on the rails quietly at 20-1, Bamber Bridge,
yes,
they're putting a run together. I wanted to give them an honourable mention because they have a slow start, but they've crept up the table to 11th. And they, like Northwich, in fact, they've played less games in Northwich. They've only played 12 games. So keep an eye on them. Can they continue to make progress? And they're playing Warrington this weekend as well.
Uwek. It's the Northern show. I can get away with doing that. Not so much on the Southern one, but the Northern one's
no,
fine.
They will wonder if you
yeah.
hate.
I actually did an interview before with the Didcot manager, and I actually used the word I, which you can't really use when you're agreeing with someone on the Southern
did
show.
Did
you anyway.
Up on it?
No, he didn't, thankfully. Anyway, just moving on slightly. Obviously, we mentioned Glossop North End and we mentioned Warrington. Spennymoor, you can't really discount Spennymoor at this moment either. They've got 2 games in hand over Warrington, and they're only 5 points behind Warrington, which is good for Spennymoor, and proving that last season wasn't necessarily a fluke. Clitheroe, though, well done to them. Currently 5th.
Well done to Clitheroe, hanging in there. They remain to have that feather in their cap of being the only team to beat Northwich. I mean, they've done great. It's a very young team that Simon Garner's got there, and scoring loads of goals. They're also conceding loads of goals. They've conceded 33 goals, so they're going to need to address that if they're going to be long-term contenders to finish in the top 5. But to be fair to them, I don't think many would have predicted that going into November they would be in a playoff position. So I think they deserve and have earned a lot of love, absolutely.
And just to finish off some of the surprises that are in that league at this moment, we've got Trafford, but they played a lot of games more than everyone else. But it's good to see them up that end of the table after all the trials and tribulations of last season.
Yeah, they had a slow-ish start, and you know, I put a run together, and it just goes to show the teams in the middle of the table, you know, they can put a run together.
Yes.
They will climb up. What I think what the pattern that we are seeing in Division 1 North, I think the top four is a lock. I think the top four, they are, I'm not going to say they're going to finish in that order, but they are the top four teams.
Right.
You've got a mass then of probably about 9 or 10 teams who essentially now are probably playing for fifth place. I still maybe will include Bamber in that because they may still pay for that slow start. But I think the top four, even though the distance isn't there at the moment, I think their quality and the way things are shaping up, I think they are going to be a lock for the top four, and everybody else is kind of now going to be jostling to try and have that almighty scramble to finish fifth. And you just couldn't call it at the moment. I don't know if you were going to mention them, but Scarborough's kind of fall down the table has been something that's quite dramatic.
Obviously when I only look at this table every couple of weeks or so, and I was struck by Trafford being that high up, with Mosley being that high up, Lancaster City doing better than they were doing last month on last month's show, that's for sure, when we were interviewing press about managers being leaving the club and that kind of thing. Bursko is still solid as well.
Bursko, definitely, we gave him an honourable mention for a great FA Cup win last time. I think they deserve an honourable mention for the run. Yeah, that they've put together 6 wins and 7 have taken them up to 9. So they're in really good form at the moment and deservedly where they are. And let's see how long they can keep that going. They're in great form.
And let's just draw our eyes now towards the bad area of the table. How can I? It's getting worse, isn't it? I mean, New Mills at this moment.
Well, we wondered. I mean, you know, obviously they made the change of manager, and we wondered if the guys from Withenshaw Town.
Withenshaw Town.
Appears that, you know, it's just a task too far, I think.
And
yeah, it's very depressing to write off the season in, well, essentially October, isn't it, really?
Yes.
But I'm worried that might be kind of what has to happen there.
I've got it. In that part of the world, in the kind of hills of northwest Derbyshire, games do get called off, and football can get called off for like months on end. Maybe that would be a good opportunity to pause and regroup. Maybe that will happen.
Hibernate. Never mind a mid-season break. New Mills hibernate. Emerge in February and go on this incredible. I mean, I say it's only. They are only 10 points adrift of third bottom Farsley. That's not. You know, that's not insurmountable, is it?
Exactly.
There's no sign.
No, Simo, don't do but. That was a good way. That was a good way to end on a happy note.
We have to have hope. Yeah.
Obviously, there's other relegation issues afoot as well. There's Harrogate Railway currently second for bottom on the same number of points as Farnsley Celtic. Drolsden and Radcliffe are slowly looking over the shoulder a bit. James has been going on about how good Radcliffe Borough are. They've been unlucky with the teams they've had to play this season. I think they had to play Northwich, for example. But is it a clear cut with relegation this year? Is it between Farsley and Harrogate?
I would include, even though I might get pelters for it, I would include draws in that because they just concede goals for fun and they're going to lose a lot of matches. I saw Radcliffe first hand last week. They won at Witten in the FA Trophy, and I don't think for 1 second they're in danger of being relegated. They thoroughly deserve to win that game, and I think they'll be okay. I mean, we haven't mentioned them yet, but the big worry would be, you know, when's the Witten fall going to end? When's it going to plateau? I mean, I was having a look before we came on, and outside of the bottom two, only Ossett Town have got a worse record than Witten in the past 8 games. I mean, they got criticised for saying it, but I do believe they are in free fall. And it's whether, you know, can Carl McCauley, who's just gone in, obviously he's finally been appointed the permanent successor to Scott Dundas since I was last on, and he's lost the first 3 games in charge, albeit they were all in different competitions. And you know, I spoke to him after the game on Saturday, and he kind of sat back in his chair and let out a big sigh and said, "This is a big job, isn't it?" And I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." I mean, I'm not going to trot out the horrible phrase "they're too good to go down" because that's ridiculous. Their form is such that they are in relegation form at the moment, and they have to. That's where their immediate concern needs to be, and it's what he said to me when I spoke to him. The immediate concern is we have to stop this rot and make sure that we don't get dragged any further down this table, and that is literally their aim at the moment, which is quite depressing considering when we did the preview show, we were talking about Witten as potential, albeit outside, but certainly potential outside contenders to finish in the playoffs, and that was their stated, you know, their stated aim. So it's feast and famine, isn't it? With Vixer going and the way Whitney going, we really have got the two ends of the spectrum.
But to be fair, dear listener, it's only November. But tune in next month to see just how right Simo was. Right, okay. just a quick mention for the FA Trophy. On the results are in for the first qualifying round. And congratulations, in particular, congratulations to Bursko beating Colwyn Bay by 1-0.
Yeah, great win.
A cracking result, that. Also, congratulations to Bennymoor Town, an impressive 6-3 win against Goole, including a hat-trick for Nathan Fisher. And congratulations also to Warrington Town, who beat Brighouse Town by 2-0. And Radcliffe Borough, as you say, who beat Witton Albion away from home by 2-1. Anyway, anything else to add for Division 1?
I touched on it when I said earlier that Warrington were playing Bamborough Bridge. I think, obviously, you know, people will be seeing how Norfolk's going on the FA Cup, but it's a really big weekend in the league. We've got Warrington playing Bamborough Bridge, who I said are a resurgent Bamborough Bridge. So that's going to be a really difficult game for Warrington. Perhaps even bigger than that, we've got Spennymoor at home to Glossop at the weekend.
So that's a game, isn't it?
It's a game. And so Norfolk, yes, obviously, are going to be focused on what's going on the FA Cup, but they'll also kind of be sleeping easier in the knowledge that somebody who's their close rival, they're going to take points off the other. When Spennymoor played Glossop on the opening day, it was 1-1. You'd almost certainly have your money on it being a draw, but Spennymoor's home record is really good there at home this weekend. But yeah, that's a massive game. And just below that, we've got Brighouse in six are playing Trafford. So we've got three really big games at the top of the table this weekend. So yes, understandably, people will be having a look at what's happening in the FA Cup, but there's three really important games going on in the league. So that would be the final thing I would flag up.
And where are you off to this weekend, Simo?
I'll be at the FA Cup tie.
Of course you will. How can people keep abreast of what's going on at Norfolk?
So you can follow me on Twitter at @Simo_on_sport.
Good. Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, thanks for joining us this month on Division 1.
Thank you.
So, lastly on this week's show, it's now time to go back to Division 1 South, and we're joined by a very special guest. It's the chairman from Shore Lane Aquaforce. It's Craig Wood. Hello, Craig. How are you?
I'm good, Ben. How are you?
I'm not too bad, mate. So, what a cracking start to the season. Is this what you expected?
Well, we didn't really know what to expect, if I'm honest, Ben. Obviously, new division, step up in standard and what have you. We kind of took a while to settle in. I would say the first 10 games or so were a bit hit and miss. We gained a couple of victories, but we also lost a couple, and we had some draws in there. Interestingly, we were in winning positions in every single one of them games, but couldn't kind of hold on. But we seem to have got it together. The lads have settled in, and they're playing with a lot of confidence at the moment.
Last season, for listeners who are unaware, you came up from the Northern Counties East League as champions into this division. Can you tell us a bit about Shore Lane Aquaforce, about the scale of the club and how big the club actually is with sides and that kind of thing?
We're a relatively new club in terms of the adult section. Historically, we were a Sunday pub side, kind of 5 or 6 years ago, a couple of years ago actually. We joined forces with a junior section, Bark FC, and we all became Shore Lane Aquaforce. And we've got over 20 teams, obviously from under sevens right up to your open age. Ladies teams as well, girls teams. So yeah, it's quite a big club in that sense. And
this kind of similarities with a side who I went to watch a couple of weeks ago called Sporting Calza in the West Midlands, who in 1992 were Sunday League side, and now they're in the towards the top end of the Midland League. So it is possible to have that rise up the leagues even now. When it comes to Shore Lane Aquaforce this season, you've shown your intent with some of the signings that you've made. I mean, some of the names that I've seen, Gavin Allett, for example, Adam Priestley, Adam Jones. These are very good players.
Obviously, when we got promoted, there was no kind of expectation this season in terms of having to be promoted or going for it again, if you like. what we wanted to do was at least compete. You know, we sat down in the summer with the management team, and they highlighted a couple of players, key players, and Gavin Allen was one of them. And we managed to get him in. Adam Priestley, like you say, and then Adam Jones that's joined us over the last few games. We've been fortunate that we've got the right blend of player to come into the club, and they're settling really well. It doesn't always work that way. Obviously, there is a budget available, mm-hmm. which helps. But I have to give a lot of credit to Craig Elliott, the manager, and the management team for obviously highlighting the right calibre of player that we need to be competitive this season. And so far, it's working. I mean, it's not just the starting 11, we've got a strong bench, we've got competition for places, so it's all credit to the management team, really.
And it's proving the case, isn't it? I mean, 37 goals scored, only 13 goals conceded, undefeated at home this season. Currently 5 points at time of recording off Stafford Rangers. Stafford Rangers have been formidable this season. Do you think this could go down to the wire, though? Are you going to push them all the way, do you think?
Well, you can't really make predictions, can you?
I don't want to jinx it for you, Craig.
Yeah, I mean, actually, because we were awarded the Team of the Month for October.
There's nothing.
I kind of thought we might have, Craig, back to bite us or something.
You have my sympathies. There's nothing worse than Alan Alcock turning up with his awards, is there?
Yeah, but we had a good win last night against Basford, and so it didn't kind of come back to bite us. But it's so hard to make predictions. I mean, Stafford Rangers are a quality side. There's not just Stafford. There's Calderdale as well, mm-hmm. who I was really impressed with when they came to Shore Lane. Defensively, really, they set up well. They don't concede goals. We were conceding goals at the beginning of the season, and that's what cost us points. But we seem to have addressed that, and we've had quite a few clean sheets on the bounce in the league. So. In terms of where we'll be come the end of the season, I'd like to think that we'll carry on with this kind of consistency that we've now seem to have found. But I'm sure Stafford and Colville, to name just two, will be equally equipped to push for the for promotion.
And obviously, you played in the FA Trophy at the weekend. You beat Farnsley Celtic by 4-3. Up for a good run in that as well this season. Is that going to be welcome to raise the profile of the club more than anything?
Yeah, I mean, more than anything, really. Personally, as chairman, I'd love to have a good run in the FA Trophy. Obviously, there's the revenue side of it, but. We were so unlucky last year in the FA Vars. We're 3 minutes away from the semi-final. The whole club got a lift from that, and we really enjoyed, the away days and the different club you come across. But obviously, the FA Trophy is a lot more difficult to be able to progress through, through the rounds. We've done well so far. Next round, we've got Matlock, which. Obviously, Premier Division side, mm-hmm. so they'll be favourites for that. But we'll just have to hope that we can. We're at home. We'll just have to hope that we can get a result. It'd be great to be in the draw for obviously when the bigger sides come in. That'd be an ultimate. Can you imagine getting drawn against Tranmere or somebody like that in a couple of rounds?
Absolutely,
that'd just be a dream come true.
And last question, Craig. When it comes to the medium and long term of Shore Lane Aquaforce, where do you see the club in the next five years or so?
Well, we set out 5 years ago with a plan of trying to get towards knocking on the door of the conference. We have been fortunate. We've had successive promotions, and effectively, we're two more promotions away from knocking on the door of the conference, if you like, because we've been in the conference north. Mm-hmm. That may be a bit too much too soon. Obviously, the higher you go, the more difficult it becomes, not just on the field, but logistically off the field, the requirements for grounds and what have you, and also, the cost. So that's where we'd like to be. whether it happens, you know, in 5 years, in this 5 year plan or not, I don't know. But we'll all we can do is just keep going the way we are, really, and hope that we can keep challenging for promotions.
Well, Craig Wood, chairman at Shorelane Aquaforce, thanks for joining us this month on the Division 1 show. And we wish you all the best for the coming months of the season. We'll make sure we'll have you back on at some point in the coming weeks and coming months.
That's my pleasure, Ben. Thank you.
Well, that's it for this month's Division 1 show. I hope you've enjoyed it. My thanks to this month's guests. Remember, you can keep in contact with this show by tweeting us at NPL Show. And of course, you can get involved with all the banter and discussion that goes on the NPL Facebook group. That's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. Well, that's it for this month's show. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this month to cheer on your Evo Stick Division 1 side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.